to have Canada's foremost orchestra leader, Luigi Romanelli, and his King Edward Hotel Orchestra. A man we've heard for years over the air, and who we're now going to meet face to face.
Greetings, bandwagon passengers, and welcome to Canada. Please forgive my lack of ability as a speaker, but I'm afraid I've been a musician too long.
It suddenly occurs to me that it was very appropriate to open Luigi Romanelli's bandwagon appearance with the tune "And the Angels Sing." For it turns out that the music of the angels has sounded in his ears since the day he was born. His father played the harp and has been a very famous harpist for many years. It was his father who taught Luigi music, starting at such an early age that we find him making his first public appearance as a violinist at the age of 7 years. Since then, Luigi has followed his father's footsteps by teaching his younger brother Leo to play the violin. And now we find Leo playing here in the orchestra with him and serving as assistant conductor. There's still another brother in this musical family. Brother Don directs another of Luigi's orchestras and handles most of the work outside of the hotel. But now, Luigi, what's all this I hear about you being mixed up with scandals from early in your career?
You can't embarrass me, Henry. I know you are referring to George White, famous for his George White scandal.
I hear that you and George White started out together.
That's correct. I played the violin in George Don. We performed outside of theaters, on street corners, and on the ferry boat across Toronto Bay to Hammond's Point Ballpark. That was when we were about 12 years old.
Well, I take it then that you and your violin have been together for a long time, have you?
Yes, many, many years. In fact, we've been so close that I once saved my violin from drowning.
Saved a violin from drowning? What's that all about?
Well, when we performed on the ferry boat, we made our money by passing the hat. But you see, we're not supposed to be on the boat. So we had to hide from the captain.
So how could you get away with a thing like that?
Well, we didn't. One day, just before we reached Cannon's Point, I saw the captain coming down from the pilot house. I was so scared that I just jumped overboard and swam to shore, holding my violin up out of the water with one hand.
Well, page Mr. Ripley. That's one for the book.
Your association with George White was not your only contact with the theater. I understand that you made an appearance on the stage yourself at a very early age.
Yes, Henry, I did. When I was 12, I appeared in a show called The Two Orphans. I played opposite a little girl who later became very famous. Her name was Gladys Smith. Perhaps you have heard of her.
Well, with a name like Gladys Smith, I think you're asking a lot of me.
Then perhaps you know her better by her present name of Mary Pickford.
Oh, good night. You're as full of surprises as a plate of boarding house hash. I know that you played for the early Marx Brothers shows and that you also directed the orchestra in the Toronto Strand Theater while Lady Peel played the sextet from Lucia on the piano with her left hand. And yes, I know that Lady Peel is also known as Beatrice Lilly. I think the folks ought to be told that you played the first radio concert in Canada. I have the only copy of the program in existence right here in my hand, and I'd like to read you what it says on the cover. First radio concert by a wireless telephone. Tuesday evening, March 28, 1922. This program is to be heard simultaneously at the Masonic Temple, the Christie Street Hospital, and by amateur receiving sets within a radius of 150 miles of Toronto. The bandwagon pulled in here to Canada at a very auspicious time, didn't it? You know, I've really been thrilled by the flags and the banners and the other gay decorations that I've seen in the streets everywhere. And, of course, I'm well enough informed on current events to know that the city's preparing to welcome the King and Queen.
Yes, Henry. We're all looking forward to their arrival.
The presence of royalty isn't anything new to you, is it? I understand that you've played for royalty before.
We have had that pleasure. In fact, when the present Duke of Windsor was here in 1924, I had the pleasure of playing for him.
Yes, and I understand that newspapers called that night the gayest night of his tour. You know, folks, Luigi Romanelli practically met himself coming and going, because his first assignment was to play for the Prince at a formal party at the York Club. And then when that party ended, he received a rush call to bring his orchestra over to the Strathrobin estate where a late informal party for the Prince was about to start. Well, that second party ran until 6 o'clock in the morning, and Luigi tells me that the Prince sat in with the orchestra and played the drums.
That's right, Henry. And one of my proudest possessions is the ashtray which he presented to me.
Well, I should think it would be. And now to think that you're soon to play for his brother, the present ruler. When's that going to be, Louis?
I'm to play for him next week at the Woodbine. He will attend the races there and be the first ruler to witness the running of the King's Plate.